Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Praise God. Yeah. So we're carrying on our little series of time, treasure, and talent is the subject for this morning. Okay. So, praise God. You know, God has done a job on us, hasn't he? He's rescued us from sin and all of its consequences. Yeah? We have been redeemed, and that means to be bought back by God through the blood of Jesus. No accident that Jesus died. It was on purpose for us to buy us back to God for himself. I'm not a slave, but I am a son. Not a slave, but I am a son. A son of God. I have the freedom of a son and the right to call God Father. And so do you. What a privilege, eh? What a privilege. It gets better. I'm a co-heir with Christ. Think about that. If you go away and just leave this place with that thought in your mind, that's enough to feed you for a good while, isn't it? You're a co-heir with Christ. So God encourages me to call him Father. I don't need to cower before this awesome, fearsome God. I can come accepted by a loving Heavenly Father. How awesome is that? What should my response be to all of that? Well, gratitude is the very least I can do, I think. Yeah? To be grateful. I'm not going to resent all that God has done for me. I've been saved from an empty life, and everyone who is a believer, so have you. You've been saved from an empty life. Where would we be without God's love and guidance? Bit of a scary thought. More likely, a life of destruction, broken promises, anger and hatred and all that kind of stuff. Bad habits, work, drink, work, drink, work, drink. Okay, that doesn't work out so well, does it? If you just have a look out your window and see some people's lives. But God rescues us from the question, why am I here? You know, people often say, what is the meaning of life? Well, we know what the meaning of life is. It's to love and to worship our great God. And worship is so much more than singing. So much more than singing songs. Okay, although singing is all over the Bible. But yeah, worship is so much more than singing. Which brings us to our first scripture verse, Romans 12, verse 1. And here it is. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Okay, so we worship God by giving him our whole bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, not just a sacrifice we do once and for all, but a sacrifice that we do day after day, all the time, whilst we are alive. Okay, so when this place was turned from a pub into a church, with all the muck that came with it, when we were cleaning it all up and all that and building it, that was worship. That was worship. Okay. The hospitality team, when you're welcoming people into this place, that's worship. Carrying the kit around, that's worship. When we're doing it for God, that's worship. All right. Loving on people that would naturally get on your nerves, that's worship. That's being a living sacrifice. All right. Anyone can sing, and some have more talent than others to do it. Okay, but yeah, so I'm not mocking, not knocking musicians and singers, because music is powerful and stirring stuff, is it not? You know, it is something I believe that God has created. In fact, I know he's created it. And I don't know whether you ever hear a Welsh rugby crowd singing. Don't know what they're singing really, but it's very stirring. You know, when you listen to it, you thought, wow, that's powerful stuff. You know, a gospel choir. Who doesn't love a gospel choir? I know the devil doesn't love a gospel choir, but he got kicked out of the choir, didn't he? he got kicked out of the choir, okay? If you don't know your Bible, the devil, he used to lead the singing in heaven. He was kind of like the choir leader, if you like. That was his gift, but he wanted to worship for himself. And that never works out very well, does it? Okay, that's not what it's for. Worship is for God alone, the one true God. Yahweh, Jesus. Okay, side note here. Does the devil use music as part of his evil plan? I would say, oh yes, he does. Okay, so would the one who led worship in heaven ever do that? Of course he would. All right. So some of the music that we listen to, we've got to make sure we listen to the message that's coming through it. What is the message in the songs that there are within the world? Some of them are fun. Some of them are just kind of neutral, but some of the enemy likes to use. So we need to make sure we're not naive and listen to what we're listening to. And yeah, if you don't like what you're hearing, just press delete. All right. But praise God, we got a worship team that loves and follows Jesus. Yeah. And their focus is upon him. But it can be true of whatever talent as well. If it's kind of true for the devil when he had that talent and he turned it around upon himself, whatever talents that people can have, we got to make sure that we don't use it for bigging ourselves up like the enemy did, all right? Or if you're posh, don't use it for self-aggrandizement. Do you like that word? I know, yeah, steady on. You'll have fun writing that one down. All right, the truth is, if we're good at something, it's because God has gifted us to be able to do it. Use it for his glory and for his service. Your talent is God's gift to you. Oh, yeah, if there was a title for this message, it is ECC Has Talent. Okay, right. All right, it's my conviction that God wants you to enjoy what you're good at. He wants you to enjoy what you're good at, even if it involves working at it, which, of course, it will. Yeah, it will. It's going to involve work. Imagine, say, if you went into a surgery or you wanted to have a root canal treatment and they just brought somebody and said, oh, this person just fancies having a go today. Is that all right? You know, you want that person to be kind of trained at the job, you know, being able to look into it. And you wouldn't want them to tell you it was their first time, although everybody's got to have a first time, haven't they? As long as they don't tell you when you're having root canal treatment, that's all right. Okay. Yeah, it's good to be good at what we do and to work at it. All right. So with the church and its different ministries, we come alongside, we watch, we learn, and then we can have a go, can't we? Yeah, we can have a go at the thing that God is pointing us towards, the thing that he wants us to be involved in. What you get a buzz from, spiritually speaking, is a good indicator of where your gifting or where your talent is going to lie. And that could include all kinds of different things. Craftsmen, organizers, kids workers, youth workers, seniors workers, etc. I'm generalizing, but if you're not enjoying something, you either need reviving in it or you need to move on to something else that God has for you. So I'm only talking about service-wise there, okay? Is that kind of clear? Right, service-wise. You want to be able to enjoy what you're doing. It's a good indicator that you're in the right place. God has always got something for you to do, something you can worship him with, be a living sacrifice with. Okay, you may say to me, oh, Steve, I'm not very good at much. That's okay, because Jesus can enhance your gifting. Did you know that? Jesus can enhance your gifting. Apparently, the Apostle Peter was a fisherman, but every time we read about him in the Bible, he's never caught anything. He's never caught anything. It says he was a fisherman, but whenever he got Jesus in the boat or was directed by Jesus, we find that he's either got a bumper catch or he's catching the thing that he needed to catch. Jesus enhances what we're good at. Jesus enhances the talent that we've got, okay? He can give us the anointing to be able to do the thing that he wants us to be able to do. So Peter, there he was, bless him. He was a fail on a biblical scale, and that rhymes. Okay, but with Jesus and his direction, he got a whole lot better at what he was doing. Jesus turns failure into success. And he's got the right to tweak our gifts. Did you know that? He's got the right to tweak our gifts. He said to Peter, "Hey, yo, Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men." He tweaked his gift. Yeah. "You're going to be a fisher of men." He's a holy tweaker. All right. Matthew can't talk about talents without looking at the parable of the talents. It may well be called something a little bit different in your Bible. In my one, it's titled the Parable of the Three Servants. But in lots of the other versions, it's called the Parable of the Talents. So we're going to take a look at it. Matthew 25, verse 14 through to 30. So when it refers here to bags of silver, in several of the older versions, shall we say, it was called talents. Okay, so just think of that as we're reading through. Here we go again. Again, so Jesus is... he's just given a story, a parable, which illustrates how the kingdom of God works. All right. "Again, the kingdom of heaven could be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them whilst he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earned five more. The servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they'd used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, 'Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more.' The master was full of praise. 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have earned two more.' The master said, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you did not plant and gathering crops you did not cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I did not plant and gathered crops I did not cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it.' Then he ordered, 'Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Okay, so powerful stuff, huh? So the Greek word referring to coins is translated as a talent. And apparently that talent is about 75 pounds in weight, or 34 kilograms. So I asked Google all about that. He told me five talents would have been 25 stone. That's a lot. That's a lot. Some versions actually say gold coins as well. So take your pick. So two talents is going to be 10 stone. One talent's going to be 5 stone. How many people know that God gives generously? God gives generously. All right. It's where we get our English word talent from. So, I think we can say that God gives according to our ability, because that's what the parable was teaching us. So it's nothing to do with how much God loves us. He didn't love the guy with the five talents any more than the guy with the one talent. That's not how it works in the kingdom of God, okay? We're all equally loved and we're all equally precious in God's sight. But some men and women are just amazingly gifted, aren't they? You know, we can look around in the world. Billy Graham has just gone to heaven, but what a harvest that man had throughout the earth. Reinhard Bonnke, guys like Smith Wigglesworth and Catherine Kuhlman just had amazing ministries. They were amazingly gifted by God. The revivalists like Wesley and Whitfield and Evan Roberts just saw a massive harvest that God gave them whilst they were here upon the earth. And we've got apostles like Pastor Colin, who we could refer to today, Bill Johnson. They have got a big measure of talent that God has given them. And biblically speaking, you can talk about guys, they talk about minor prophets and kind of major prophets. Guys like Isaiah and Jeremiah wrote big old prophecies and were used powerfully by God. And then there's the guys who, like Obadiah, who just wrote a little small prophecy, you know. And that's the way it is. And New Testament-wise, Peter, Paul, they had big ministries. And they're mentioned a lot in the New Testament, whereas some of the apostles that were with Jesus, you only see their names once or twice. And if you tried to be like these big guys, you'd probably fail. Because God has got to give you the grace to be able to carry the gift that goes with it. Okay, so yeah, back to the parable. Remember the fella, most of all, don't we, with the one talent. He's the one that kind of sticks out in our minds. Only got 5 stone in weight of coins. Poor fella. Okay. I was thinking about this fella. You know, it must have taken a lot of effort to bury 5 stone of coins. I mean, you know, in hot Israeli soil, I think that would have taken a lot of effort. You know, he could have invested his money in a gardening business, couldn't he? He would have been pretty good if he was digging stuff up. Or, you know, he could have been a grave digger. I know that's a dying business, but that's beside the point. Come on, I had to do it. Sorry. So his excuse was he was afraid. He was afraid. All right. That didn't cut it with the master. It doesn't cut it with the master. Fear is the enemy of faith. And we're not supposed to let it stop us from working for God. Okay? Don't let fear stop us working for God. He was called wicked and lazy and thrown into outer darkness. Now, not too sure what that means, but as Pastor Colin Urquhart would say, we're just going to make sure we stay very far away from that, so it's never going to be anything to bother us. Okay, we're going to be too busy serving God to be worrying about that kind of stuff. Okay, and God will help us. God is our helper, is he not? I'm sure I've read that somewhere in the Bible. Okay, like when Peter, you know, sometimes you might try something and you might find that you have a little slip up, like Peter walking on the water and he began to sink. But Jesus was there to give him a helping hand and help him back onto his feet again. Okay. And just another word on gifting. Don't covet somebody else's talent. Don't covet somebody else's gifting like the devil did. Okay. It doesn't work out well for you. And it won't fit you right either. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and it is light. Yeah, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Somebody else's talent won't fit you right. It'd be painful. Okay, you don't see a chihuahua pulling a cart, do you? No, you see a horse pulling a cart. I mean, what are chihuahuas useful for? I really don't know. Very yappy little chappies. Okay, some people might like chihuahuas. I don't know. They're kind of sweet, I suppose, if you like that kind of thing. No, maybe not. Okay, so I've been reading the Book of Numbers just over the past few weeks, and there were some geezers there, and they were quite eager to be the leader. And they were complaining to Moses. Moses, who are you to be the boss? We're all the boss. We're all of God's children. You know, it didn't work out too well for those fellas. Cutting the story short, they led a rebellion that cost them their lives. So thank God we're in the day of grace now. And but yeah, even still, God doesn't want us to covet what he's not leading us into. All right, it's not wise to do that, ministry-wise in any way. He promotes, etc. He's the one that does that. Let's just live under his leading. Use your gift well, and it is what you'll be rewarded for. Don't use someone else's gift well, because you won't get a reward for that. Okay, God wants to reward us for the gifting that he's given us and for the way that we use it. So, you can use your gift to support Pastor Faye. I can say that because she's not here today, okay? And it won't embarrass her. Let your ministry be a help and not a hindrance. Let your talent be a help and not a hindrance. Okay. So, the parable indicates that your talent doesn't actually belong to you. Doesn't belong to you. Okay. It is given back to the master. Given back to the master. And he is the one that rewards the way the gift has been used. It's important that we recognize that our talent and our gift isn't our identity. Okay? It's not our identity. Yes, you can enjoy your gift, you can get fulfillment from it, but you delight yourself in the Lord. We delight ourselves in the Lord. Our identity is in being sons of God. That's who we are. And it's out of that that we do the stuff that we do for God. And it's okay for you ladies to be sons of God. We know that quite well in this church. It gets taught quite often. The ladies are allowed to be sons of God because it's the firstborn son that gets the full inheritance. All right. And so we're co-heirs with Christ. And the fellas, we know that we're the bride of Christ as well. All right. So we haven't got any problem with that. Okay. So we're all like firstborn sons of God, enjoying the inheritance that God has got for us. Right, so the ongoing theme over these past few weeks, God has given us treasure. Pastor Lynn was teaching us about that. God has given us treasure. And we give back a tithe, which means one-tenth, to God. And he rewards us with more. It's a promise. It was great this morning in the prayer meeting. We were just speaking out and praying out some of the promises of God, you know, over the church, over ourselves, over the leaders of the church. It's powerful, powerful stuff. And one of the promises of God that if you give to God, he's going to give back a full measure, overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, etc. Okay, God has given us time. That's what Pastor Faye was teaching us. God has given us all the exact same amount of time to be able to use per day. Can't remember how many seconds it was, but 86,400 and something. Well done, Tony. Well remembered. Okay, he's given us all the exact amount of time each day. All right, and so we give our time back to God, and what do we gain? We gain eternity. What an awesome thing. You know, we get to live with God in heaven forever, enjoying his presence in the glory. Okay, and we give God our talent. God promises us that great shall be our reward in heaven. Let's look at some gifts and talents that the Bible mentions, shall we? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12-30. Right, so Paul here was using the Apostle Paul, using an illustration of our bodies, and he's referring to it as the church. So the church, if you imagine the church as being a body, and here we go. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ, i.e. the church. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into the one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it to be. So who's done it? God has. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the whole body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honourable, we clothe with the greatest care. So, we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, whilst the more honourable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such... So God has put the body together such that extra honour and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First, there are apostles. Second, there are prophets. Third, are teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. Those who have the gift of leadership. Those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. Okay, so there we find each one of us has got our different gifts. I couldn't help but just thinking when it says, how strange would it be if, you know, somebody was just one part of the body. I just imagined a great big toe sitting on the front row here. Just couldn't get it out of my mind. Kind of weird. But anyway... So, we're all part of the body of Christ. We have a job to do. Let me hear you say, I have a job to do.
I have a job to do.
It's the truth. It's the truth. We've been given a measure of faith and grace to go with the gift. And God can add to that and tweak that as he sees fit. So, God's desire is that all his children find fulfillment in serving him. Do you believe that? Good. I'm glad you do, Tony. That's awesome. Okay. Don't be afraid to use your talent. And if you need help and direction, I'm sure Pastor Faye can direct you. We've all got a part to play. Okay. And it's going to be linked with what excites you, I'm sure. All right. It's all part of the prophetic word that Pastor Faye has spoken out over the church over this last year. We need to get our baskets ready. You know, to me, when I hear that, it kind of means that I need to do something. You know, we all need to do something to get ready. If you need to get ready, you need to do something, don't you? Yeah, get ready. Get your baskets ready. Do something. Be ready for the harvest by using your talent. You know, how can you use your talent to be ready for the harvest that we're believing is going to be coming in? Okay, be in prayer and expectation, asking God, God, what can I do? What can I do to help get baskets ready? You know, I'm kind of praying into some more youth workers, some more volunteers for Wednesdays and Sundays. We could do with that. If any of you prayer warriors are out there, if you could pray for that as well, that would be awesome. You know, I'm sure lots of the other departments around as well are kind of eager to see laborers for the harvest field. Okay, you need a lot of love and patience with young people and a sense of humour. So, yeah, if that's you, come and see us. All right, what do you do? What are we going to do with the youth basket? How do we kind of get it into the body? These are the kind of questions I'm asking at the moment. The Lord knows, and he knows what it is that you need to do as well in your particular gifting, calling, etc. I'm going to look at one more set of scriptures now from Romans chapter 12. Verse 2 through to 11. Again, quite familiar scriptures to some of you guys who've been around for a while. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see that bit there, which is good, pleasing and perfect. So it's going to please you. It's going to be good for you. All right. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. So each one of us has been given a measure of faith, and that's how we've got to measure ourselves. And not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but do think of yourself with the measure that God has given you. So it all means we need balance, doesn't it? Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Say, I belong to you. Look at somebody. I belong to you. You know, we belong to each other. That's what it says. I didn't write it. Okay. We belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Who likes to be encouraged? It's good, isn't it? It's encouraging, strangely enough. All right. If it is given, give generously. Yeah, we need people who are givers, don't we? If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And do you have the gift for showing kindness to others? Do it gladly. Does anybody like to receive kindness? Yeah, we do, don't we? You know, we need these gifts in operation. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. All right, all these gifts are linked into love. If we'd have carried on reading the Corinthians, the next chapter after that was the one all about love, the one that is pretty famous that we all hear when we go to weddings and stuff like that. Okay, hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy. There's that word again. That wicked, lazy servant. All right, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. All right, we need to keep that enthusiasm, don't we? And that comes by the Spirit of God inside of us, the dunamis, as is translated. Okay, the power of God. The power of God energizes us. God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he's given you treasure. He's given you talent. Stay close to Jesus and you're going to be fruitful in your gift. I believe that. Okay, you will be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're going to worship God in song, okay? And whilst we do, is what I like to do. Just close your eyes, all right, as we're singing. And speak to God and let him speak to you. Tell him, you know, if you want to, all right? I want to use my gift. I want to use my talent for you as you see fit. And, you know, just as we're doing that, just as an act of dedication to God, you can either stand up or you can raise your hand. That's why it's good to close your eyes, just so you can think through it. Don't be bothered or disturbed by whoever's around you. You just focus on God for yourself, okay? And, just as we're worshiping God, just dedicate yourself to God. Say, I want to thank you, Lord, for all the good things that you've done for me. And I want to just dedicate my life back to you. And if that's where you're at, like I say, you know, you just stand to your feet as an act of dedication to him. God needs you. He loves you. He wants to bless you to be a blessing. We're going to worship God together.